UX of EdTech helps people design better ways to support learning. I'm your podcast host, Alicia Kwan, and I look forward to learning with you today. Today, I'm featuring a few members of the team who worked on Quizlet's QChat, the world's first AI tutor built with OpenAI's ChatGPT. It's modeled on research demonstrating that the most effective form of learning is one-on-one tutoring. I have with me Eli Kariv, Senior Product Manager, Pranavi Javangula, Product Designer, and Ling Cheng, Director of Machine Learning. I hope you enjoy our conversation, and please check the show notes for ways to follow us further.
Thanks so much for having us on the podcast, Alicia. Excited to be here. My name's Eli, and I'm a product manager here at Quizlet. So I've been working on how we integrate machine learning generally across a bunch of our different study products. And then I was the product manager for QChat. So I get to work on a lot of fun things, everything from, you know, the actual product of user flows, how we think about different trade-off decisions, and then also working across all of our different cross-functional teams. So how we think about integrating this with marketing and how we think about product operations and getting feedback from students. So kind of coordinating across a bunch of different functions at Quizlet.
Hi there, I'm Pranavi. I go by Pran, so feel free to call me Pran. I led product design for the project. So everything from ideating the user experience to implementation support as QChat kind of came to life. And I worked really closely with Eli, which was a ton of fun.
Hi, I'm Ling, and I'm a director of machine learning at Quizlet. And I initiated the project by bringing the team together and getting alignment with the exec team that wanted to do something innovative in AI. Brought the team together, kind of got this project sponsored, and started the ball rolling. And then led kind of the AI side of things.
Awesome. So can you tell me a little bit more of the story behind how this was developed, how you got the green light to work on this? And I'm curious about the problem space, even the problem that QChat is solving for, and also what outcomes were you working towards through all of it?
Yeah, Ling, I think if you wanted to share kind of the initial, obviously it's been a space we've been working in for a while, but Ling really helped spearhead kind of this iteration of things. So do you want to share a bit about that? And then I can talk about user problems.
Yeah. So, you know, at Quizlet, we've been wanting to build, an AI tutor for some time, for many years now. That's one of the big focuses of the ML team. You know, we've been working on various aspects of using AI to build something like a tutor, for example, generating questions, generating advanced questions or multiple choice questions, semantic grading, and integrating that into our product. After we saw, the capability, also we've been also working with OpenAI to integrate some of theirs. For example, we had example sentences for vocabulary learning a few years ago, and we were a launch partner for GPT-3, the first public API launch. After we saw the big jump in capabilities with ChatGPT and what we could do conversationally, I was really excited and, got a bunch of people on board on, you know, how can we make this happen with ChatGPT or did some testing with the prompts and even gave some feedback to OpenAI directly on, what it could do to better serve this AI tutor need. And after that was improved, did a very early prototype and got, alignment to make this happen. We've been wanting to do some bigger projects and bets with AI, especially with our new CEO, Lex Baer. So that was already kind of a general direction. And this was just a great way for that to happen.
Yeah, and then in terms of specific user outcomes, like Ling was mentioning, this technology has obviously come a long way, but students have been using tutors for a very long time. I think one of the things that's so exciting about generative AI is that it really gives the opportunity to make that tutoring for any subject, really. something that is accessible for everybody. So kind of democratizing what tools students have available to them. So just like a tutor, it gets to know what you're studying and it adapts to the best way to learn that particular type of material. So we built it thinking about kind of like the college student cramming for a test tomorrow, and at the same time, the lifelong learner who's kind of picking up Spanish, maybe wants to move to Spain or try hanging out with locals in a new country. It can really adapt to those different needs. There are obviously two very different use cases, and I think what's so exciting about QChat is that can fit to adapt both of those. So it can share a story in a new language if that's what you're trying to learn. It can kind of quiz you on your comprehension if you need to get some OCAB memorization quick before your test tomorrow. And ultimately, our mission at Quizlet is to help students be unstoppable. So it's really important that it's a tool that students can use to master all different types of content, no matter what their background is. So we had a lot of those use cases in mind and then are kind of trying to learn about which ones it works particularly well for.
Real quick, if you were using QChat as a high schooler, let's say, or maybe going into college, if you were at that stage right now, how would you use it?
I think my personal favorite use case has definitely been the language learning side of things. So I think obviously memorizing a bunch of vocab is a really important part of learning. But one of the best parts of learning a new language is that you actually get to speak and have a conversation in that language. And I think that's a really natural kind of use case for something like chat. So, you know, the best way to pick up a new language is to move to that place and spend all your time immersing yourself in the culture. But maybe you have a trip coming up 3 or 6 months from now. I kind of picked on Spanish because that's a language I'm particularly interested in, but I've used it a lot. For example, we have practice sentences that students can use. So we'll kind of create a story, ask you about some practice sentences with that vocab. So I would personally use it for more of like a language learning use case. But obviously there are so many different ways, kind of depends on what you're studying for.
Yeah, that definitely makes sense. It's exciting to think about, though, for people that are in school right now. And I know you're thinking beyond school as well. A common question that's being asked the past few months is whether ChatGPT is a threat to education. And I think I know your answer to that, but what is your take on that topic in general? I imagine that's something that you had to talk through as a team.
Yeah, it's definitely a big topic. And, you know, one of the things that technology is going to inevitably shift how students learn in all of history. So, for example, the internet coming out, I still remember that, or having access to be able to search things. And even, you know, things like the internet or mobile phones, that's always created this a big change. You know, we hear the concerns about cheating, and we are focused on how we can make ChatGPT or generative AI be an additive experience to learning. So, you know, we have some guardrails around the negative potential use cases like essay writing. And then we're focused on how to really push forward that learning use case. And on the ChatGPT side, I will say that we have seen some teachers are wary of it, and then also some teachers are really using it to benefit their students and to improve their workload. We've talked to some who are using it to, you know, set up curriculums, help look at trends of the students' writing, to come up with ideas for projects, especially in this world of, you know, project-based learning. We're seeing a lot of interesting use cases. And also, I want to note that generative AI is going to change and have an impact on so much of society and AI in general. So it's not only just going to be education, but many parts of society.
What would you say are some of the concerns that you've worked through as a team? If there were guardrails, you kind of mentioned maybe some of the limits that you put in place. I'd love to hear more about that, just risks, bets, all of that.
Yeah. So for part of this launch, we worked in terms of guardrails, we worked closely with our legal trust and safety and security teams to make sure that, you know, what we are, our experience is good for, you know, the education standpoint. We used OpenAI's content moderation API that detects if there's any kind of inappropriate content. And in fact, we have more conservative thresholds than a normal use case, than what they normally have. Like, we have customized it to be even more sensitive to that. We've got, things like other filters for inappropriate content, like profanity. I think those are just some of the guardrails that I can think of, but there's definitely like a heavy discussion and collaboration on that side of things. And we have, we're still improving next to that. Eli?
Yeah, I just want to add, I think one of the things that's so exciting is obviously a lot of people are building on this technology for the first time and kind of exploring like all the capabilities of what it has to offer. And there's obviously a lot of general narrative about some of the results of some of those things. I think the nice thing about working on this at Quizlet is in particular is that we've been focusing on some of those risks for a very long time. We're not new to thinking about, for example, what does it mean to have academic integrity and where are the lines between, for example, cheating and finding a really valuable resource? It's been really cool to build on, like Ling was mentioning, kind of like the trust and safety teams that we have working with security, and building on kind of this area that we've worked in for a very long time, but now applying it to kind of this new emerging technology and figuring out ways to take all the really amazing things that generative AI can provide, like we were talking about, kind of like democratizing education, making these resources available to all students, but then also being able to add in kind of the caution and the ethics and the kind of like moral considerations really to think about in terms of what guardrails do you want to set up to make this something that is, additive to the student experience and doesn't just like provide a shortcut to having your essay written, for example. So it's been kind of exciting to get to add, blend those two worlds together and create this new technology for students in that way.
Yeah. And I'm really interested now in like the feedback. What have you heard so far? It's been a couple weeks now. Has it been 2 weeks since the release? What have you observed?
Yeah, it's been about 2 weeks, I think. It's been really positive. People are really liking it. And as a team, it's been really fun to just read about and hear about people's reactions and general excitement across Twitter and our other support channels. Among the positive feedback, we've heard from folks that this is a really effective and fun way to learn. And also, it's an amazing resource that will help students receive additional opportunities to interact with their learning material. There was one piece of feedback that actually got the team really excited. We had a premium subscribed user write in that they were really enjoying using QChat and that they've already started structuring their future study habits around using it. And they had shared with us that they had reached the chat limit for the day and they were asking if there was a level of subscription above premium that they could pay to continue using the service because it was just so incredible for them. And so from there, we actually went ahead and increased the chat limit. And kind of what it solidified for us was that students are really getting value from this. And Eli's going to talk on this a little bit more in a sec, but I think just thinking about the future of QChat and how it exists within the ecosystem of Quizlet's products, it's just really encouraging to hear this kind of feedback that QChat is providing real value. And we've created and built something for students that actually aids and supports their studying. So that's been really awesome. In addition to positive feedback, we've also heard from students that there are opportunities for improvement, of course. With any new product launch, there's always things that we can continue to iterate on and improve. And one of the things that we learned through user research was that students wanted to switch between activity modes as opposed to starting completely over. So I think Eli had mentioned that among the capabilities, you can kind of QChat can quiz you on your comprehension or check your vocab knowledge or help you practice sentences. And the way that we had designed QChat, you couldn't actually switch an activity in the middle of a chat. And that was something that students really wanted to do and that we hadn't implemented in our initial version. And so this was a super important lesson that reversibility matters in UI. When you introduce something new to the world, people need to be able to play around with it and experiment. And that means designing a product in which you can always back up and try something else. And so there's been wonderful positive feedback and then also learnings and areas for improvement and opportunity that we're working on and taking into account. So yeah, it's been a really awesome experience so far to just hear from people like what this is that we've spent some time working on. So yeah, it's really cool.
So it's March 2023. Do you think we'll still be talking about ChatGPT next year? Wondering your thoughts about the future. I think at the time that we're recording this, a week from now, things could be a lot different. Even just a week from now, there's talk about GPT-4 being released, and wondering how that affects product strategy to the extent that you can discuss, and just what's next for QChat. Just wondering what your team is thinking about when it comes to the future.
Yeah, you know, there's rumors that GPT-4 is going to be multimodal, and I can't speak to that. Not working at OpenAI, but we are excited to stay on top of what's available, and make sure that we can provide that value to students. And, you know, in terms of next year, I think there's going to be, we'll see more prominent other big players come out with also their versions of ChatGPT or their APIs. And, you know, we're excited to work with, all the AI organizations and partner to have the best service for students.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, we're still learning, just like everybody else. It's something that's in beta right now. Like Pran mentioned, we've already seen a lot of really positive feedback, and we've been really hopeful about both this being a helpful tool in the future, but actually being a helpful tool right now, and having kind of users message us about the ways they're building it into their study habits is really exciting. And at the same time, we're finding lots of ways to improve it. We're kind of learning about which subjects it works well with. What are kind of the areas where it excels versus places where it's an area that we want to improve. So I think it's really, really early still. And we're just as excited to see what happens next and kind of stay on top of the developing trends. But it's been awesome to see that even in its current form, it's something that can really aid the study experience. And, you know, excited to see where it goes from here.
What advice for product designers, UX professionals, research, product teams in general, what advice do you have for those types of teams currently exploring, building with GPT and other generative large language AI models?
Yeah, I think on the UX and product side, really try to nail down the user need. You know, we're starting to see a lot of companies introduce products using this technology, and I think the level of experimentation is really awesome to see. I would just encourage folks to think about the problem this technology can really solve for their specific users and customers and go from there. In our case, you know, we saw that we could use ChatGPT with Quizlet to create this AI study coach, sort of using this Socratic method to help deepen students' understanding with any given topic in a fun and interesting way. And so, yeah, I would just encourage folks to think about that in their context. And how that could benefit who they're serving.
I think Pran totally nailed it. yeah, really thinking about the use case and kind of keeping students in mind has been the big thing for us. So it's exciting to see all the different ways that, you know, technology is developing and can be applied, but then really jumping into like, okay, how do we have students who are actively using Quizlet today to study for, you know, whether it's an exam or kind of outside of school use case, like how do we really help the students? Baling, I know you've been thinking about this. Do you have thoughts on it as well?
Yeah, I mean, it's just the technology that helps you do what you want to do. And so what some of our North Stars are also like, what does the learning science say of how we should build things? So we've also referenced, studies of what do the most effective tutors do. Or things like Bloom's Two Sigma about how, you know, students with tutors can do much better. And we're using AI just to try to accomplish what we've also seen in through the science of what's effective. Like that's, we have somewhat of a North Star there.
That's great. Any parting words, things that you want to share with those who are working on this right now, actively trying to think about AI serving students?
It's a great question. I think the biggest thing for me that's been really cool is just how collaborative the entire space has been. I think it's a technology that we're all learning about and kind of excited to see all of the different use cases. And it's been awesome. Ling has been totally on top of kind of like the Twitter threads. And, you know, like you mentioned, we have a lot of our internal conversations about the recent AI papers that are coming out. So I think just keeping it really collaborative, like I know we love talking about this stuff and we're really grateful to you for hosting us on the podcast so we could, you know, kind of continue geeking out. And I think that invite extends to everybody. We would love for people to reach out, kind of share ideas, collaborate on what are ways, you know, what are the types of prompts that work really well? And what are ways that we see this being really valuable for students in the classroom? And what are ways that it's amazing for teachers? I think it's going to be something that, you know, we're all going to learn about. And it's such a collaborative field where we can all get better and kind of really provide resources to students.
Thanks for listening. If you're interested in growing in your understanding of UX in the edtech space, we offer a number of resources that could help, including articles, a community Slack, and learning events. There are two main ways to access that, our LinkedIn page and our free newsletter. Check the show notes for ways to connect. This episode's theme music is by the band Sleep Still. UX of EdTech helps people design better ways to support learning. I'm your host, Alicia Kwan, and I look forward to learning with you next time.